Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 hello. Great morning to you. It is a terrific Tuesday. Tuesday, August 4th, 2015. You have tuned into Couch Conversations. This show is an outreach of Blessed and Know It Ministries, virtual ministry for virtually everyone. Follow us on all forms of social media, Facebook, Google+, Vine, Twitter, and Instagram. We are all across the World Wide Web, reminding you that your life is worth living and living out loud. I'm your host, Rev J, and I'm excited you tuned in. It's going to be another terrific episode, all because you're here. So, if you hadn't noticed, I don't know how, but if you hadn't noticed, we have switched things up a bit for the summer. We are not individually focused. We've become very family focused in our shows and in our topics and our discussions during the summer because family is so important, backbone of society. And it's where we got most of our traits, our characteristics, the way we interact with people, all developed because of how we interacted with family. And even when we have issues and how we deal with them, it still stems from how we deal with our family. And so we thought it was important and necessary to pause our regularly scheduled routine and introduce the family focus into Couch Conversations. And so far, I have no complaints. The variety of topics that we have talked about, from blended families to the Oreo generation, to how to solve and handle conflicts, setting up family meetings, doing different things with the family that don't cost arm, leg, and a thigh just to get it accomplished, we have covered a lot of material. And if you've missed any episodes, feel free to go back, listen to whatever you missed, and keep it moving because as each one of us grow individually, we grow collectively, and we only get stronger as a family. So with that said, today is no different. This is going to be our last week of Family Focus. I know, it's okay. But you have three great episodes, and today our focus in the family is on family health and family health history. For those of us who happen to have our parents alive, it's a beautiful thing, and grandparents alive, it's a beautiful thing, our children around us, cousins, aunts, and uncles, great, because that helps us to develop a clearer family health history. So not just your family tree, but like your family medical stuff, like what stuff is being passed down due to genetics or lifestyle or habits that your family has continued for generations that maybe can be switched and adjusted so the next generation can greatly improve or so that you can catch things early and so you are preactive and proactive and not reactive to your health issues. What? That sounds kind of weird. I know. I'm aware. And just because certain members of your family have certain disease does not mean you'll get that disease. A lot of us took biology in school. We understand 1 in 4 chance of all that stuff and all the X and the Y and the X and the Y and the Y and the X and double X chromosomes, I got you. But if there is a way to prevent, to stop something like an avalanche from rolling over you, wouldn't you want to do it? Yes, yes you would. So this is a great week to really sit down and look and examine those things that we can look at and examine. Now, some of us are not as fortunate, so we have to interview other people in the family, or we can go ahead and get some genetic testing done, submit your DNA, you know, and find out that way. But a lot of us are fortunate. We're fortunate enough to be surrounded by people who have, like, clues about what has been going on with family. And so what we have to do is we have to be investigative reporters. And some of the stuff, you know, older generations will say, we never talked about that. We don't talk about this. Well, what happened to Aunt so-and-so? Why didn't she do this? Because she's special. And if you go back enough generations, they have all sorts of names for conditions like diabetes is sometimes called sugar. What? She has sugar. Everyone has sugar in their kitchen. What are you talking about? So you mix generations, it's kind of funny to get them all in a room. You know what I'm talking about, baby. Okay. You need to know what they're talking about because the conversations that you're having could actually help save a life. So that's why it's important to know your family medical history. It's important to sit down and have the hard conversations of why. Look at this pattern. My My grandfather died in his 60s. My uncles died in their 60s. My brothers got health issues. Is there a connection? Is there a link? Is it some genetic stuff? Is it just the amount of stress in our community? Or is it the way we're dealing with stress in our family or not dealing with it? If you come across these things, you're like, wait, there is a pattern. How do I deal with this pattern? You take the information, and again, just because it's there doesn't mean it's going to happen to you. So there's no need to start becoming hypochondriacs about the situation. Oh, my gosh, everybody in my family has pinky toe issues. Oh, my gosh, I'm going to have pinky toe issues. No, that's not at all what we're saying. Your pinky toe is wonderful where it is. No need to cut off your pinky toe because everyone else has pinky toe issues. What we are saying is gather as much information as you can so you have a clearer picture of what's been going on with your family so that you can make the best health choices for you. And you can start to decide now, wow, this is a really good time for me to come up off of these carbs and this sugar and this right here. No, the doctor hasn't said anything yet, but based upon this medical history that I'm looking at, there's a lot of people in my family who have, quote-unquote, sugar, who have diabetes, who have rings around the belly. You know what I'm saying? Oh, and a lot of it is related to the amount of carbs and the sugar that they've ingested over time. So instead of getting a 64-ounce drink or a 32-ounce drink three times a day, maybe we can start substituting some stuff out so that we can have better health and make better health choices now, proactively, to act before anything happens, to act before the doctor says there has to be. Or maybe no one has ever done a family medical history and seen that there may be a connection between why this child acts this way. Oh, there is something really going on here, and it's not ADD, and it's not ADHD, it's something else going on. And when you know your child's record, and you can set a clear picture, when a pediatrician comes in with whatever diagnosis they have, you can also guide them and say, hey, how about we look at this over here before we put our child on these prescriptions at this young age, because in our family, such and such and such and such and such and such. Or if the child does have something like ADD and ADHD and they've got uncles or cousins who act the same way, you could also help in educate your family was like, hey, you might want to, let your child go through this review or this assessment, which will only help them to become a better version of themselves if they get help early enough. Even adults have these things, have ADD and ADHD, that's gone undiagnosed for years. And we think, oh, that's just your eccentric honor. That's just cousin so-and-so. That's just how she is. Don't touch her with that. Don't do this. And we come up with all these rules for our family members. All these rules and all these explanations for our family when it could be something that's one, preventable, two, curable, three, treatable. And why not stop the avalanche from rolling over top of you and your family while you can? So the hard conversation is to call up the aunties and uncles and be like, hey, how you doing? What kind of stuff's going on with you? And then after a while, ease into, I was just wondering if I can ask you a couple of questions about your health and see what's going on with you. Or you can have a conversation with your cousins. How are your kids? Oh, really? Well, my daughter has asthma. Is your daughter suffering right now? Really? She has asthma and allergies too? It's amazing what you can find out. Like in my family, my skin in the fall of the year gets really itchy, kind of scaly like. Like, what is this? And I was talking to one of my older cousins who says, my skin does that too. That's just our Ella's skin. And I'm like, what? This is a family thing? Oh, man. And she's like, yeah, it's eczema. Never been tested for eczema. I didn't even really know much about eczema. It didn't really look like other people's eczema that I seen. So I was like, what? Sure enough, got tested. I was like, what? Brought it up to my doctor, got the stuff, that they said I needed, went online, researched, got some natural stuff that works really well. It was like, oh, wow. So when fall of the year comes and everyone else is itchy, I'm like, I've already got this under wraps. I can be proactive as the seasons change. And I can also pass that information on to my niece because she also has itchy skin, which has turned out to be eczema diagnosed by her doctor, not just her auntie. See how it works? It could be something simple as eczema. It could be something more serious, too. But the only way to find out is to ask the questions, to be informed about what's going on, you know, with your doctors and your pediatricians and your family physicians. I don't know how many of you know that even seniors have their own special class of doctors to treat their situations. I was very fortunate growing up that there wasn't very many family doctors in our area. And so when I went to the doctor, it just happened to be the same office that my mom went to and my grandmother went to. And so they would be able to talk to me on a whole nother level because they had a clear family picture, like, hey, you definitely want to do this, 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 and this because this runs in your family. What? I want to do what? I don't want to do that. But if I want to make an informed health choice and I want my quality of life to be at its maximum, then I need to go head on and do what's necessary for that. My quality of life is as good as I can possibly make it and make sure I'm an informed patient and make sure I can inform my doctors. So now when I go to the doctor, and they're like, well, what's this and what's that? And I can guide them and direct them based upon my knowledge that I have of myself and my family history. And so when they're saying, oh, she needs this, no, that's not what this is. Seeing whereas I've had this reoccurring situation, I'm inclined to believe it's this, 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 and this. Like, what? You, no, you have this. No, no, I don't. That doesn't even run my family, nor is that something that looks similar to what you're saying, but it's not what I have. And as an informed patient, I'm saving myself time, I'm saving myself energy. Yes, I have to have a conversation multiple times with the doctors because, you know, they know their field, but I know my body. And no one knows my body the way I know my body. I mean, we've been together for 37 years, good, bad, indifferent. We've been there with each other. And I pay attention to the clues. And even now, like, I'm not really health conscious, but health aware that I can help guide other family members. Like, hey, you know, Aunt so-and-so, you should do such-and-such. What? Mm-hmm. I'm just saying you might want to, you know, watch how you interact or watch how this goes because it could go a whole nother way based upon, you know, family history. Like, oh, wow, thank you, you know, for that information. Or someone's acting a little off. He's like, I wonder if there's a chemical imbalance there based upon some other stuff that went on early on in life. Oh, maybe. And we can work on these things and we can correct these things and we don't have to be hit blindsided when a doctor says, hey, we're going to have to do such and such surgery immediately because you did such and such or because you chose not to do such and such or just because that's the hand that life dealt you. When you can really help yourself and be proactive in health choices. And no, will being proactive save you from every incident and accident in life? No. Will having your full family medical history tell you why, you know, things go the way they go in your health? No. But why not be as informed as you possibly can so that you can make the right choices and the proactive choices rather than a doctor saying, hey, we have to restrict your diet. You're on a sodium-restricted diet because you're on a downward spiral with your high blood pressure. Oh, let's see. High blood pressure has been in your family for 42 generations. Huh. Does it have anything to do with all the salt you put on your food and the lack of activity you have after meals? Well, everyone in my family does that. Well, why not be the person who changes it, who introduces something different? So after family meals, like about 30-minute rest, then let's have family games. Let's go outside and learn how to do frisbee golf together. Let's take family walks around the park. Let's engage in family fun activities that require physical movement so we're not so stagnant as a family. And together as a family, we are improving. And, of course, that gets the kids out of the house, gets everyone away from their electronics, and you really can't go wrong with that type of stuff. What, 1, 2, 3, 4 generations ago, people were outside more for work, for play, for interaction. And so our body shape, our body mass, and our BMIs, and our blood pressure didn't really act the same way it does 3 or 4 generations now that we have so many comforts at our fingertips. And so there are certain things that are not really genetic, but they're lifestyle choices. And there are things that are going down as other things are going up, and it's not in our benefit to be this stagnant or be this complacent or to be this still when we've been gifted with all these opportunities and options around us, but we're not using them. We're not using our public parks. We're not, you know, investing in community things anymore. a lot of people just staying inside the four walls of their house because they have their Wi-Fi, and that's what they're doing. Or they're staying inside the four walls of their room, and they're not being social, and they're not engaging with the members of their household. Okay, that may work temporarily, but long-term, when we're building relationships and we're building stronger families, the families that are doing things together without the Wi-Fi, without the electronics, are the families that are building the bonds that last the lifetime. You want to make sure any and all times that you are the best version of you. So whatever you have to do for your health, I encourage you to do it. Whatever you have to do for your wellness, mentally, physically, spiritually, I encourage you to do it. But whatever you can do on a proactive tip is what needs to be done. So if that means go ahead on and talk to Great Aunt Sue and find out, you know, what happened with her siblings and her nieces and her cousins and whoever you need to find out. And you have that opportunity because Great Aunt Sue is still alive and she can help fill in some voids and pictures for you. That is great. You should do that, especially, you know, if it involves emotional health and mental status of family members. It is great to be proactive and find out, oh, my gosh, is this a chemical imbalance? Is this a chemical situation? Is this a genetic situation? And you may have to pull in more doctors, but if it helps you to be a better version of yourself, why not drop that pride and be the better version of yourself? Why not drop all that ego, like, I don't have a problem? But you do, because everyone else in the family sees it, and multiple times they're trying to talk to you about it, and you're in denial about something, and you're like, I don't go to doctors. I don't need a doctor. I don't have a family physician. But if you can ward off or find someone you trust, why not work within that realm and build a relationship with your doctor on a proactive realm before anything major happens? Not that we're wishing anything major on you, but major things happen all the time. And if you have a doctor who has a plan that you guys have worked out while you were well, it's way better than having some physician that you don't know come into your room and tell you, hey, we have to crack your chest open and do this, 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 that, and the third, put in all these valves and stents and stuff because your heart just can't do it, or your valves are shutting down, if you've got all this plaque around your heart and cholesterol and all this stuff from a doctor you don't know, compared to having someone who has your medical history, who has your chart, who can say, yeah, this might be the best course of action. I'm just saying, these things are necessary in a time and age that we live in to find out the family medical history, if that's an option. If it's an option, work the option. Get the bigger picture and do what you have to do so that you are around for the memorable moments in life, so that you are still a complete and active member of your family. You're not immobilized, or you're not a burden, and you're not all these other things that could have been prevented. But if you're choosing not to prevent them, or you're choosing not to, you know, look at them and take them seriously, then what are you going to have as a quality of life as you get older? You know, what's going to be your legacy? Oh, my God, such and such was so great, and you're still alive, and people are talking about you in the past tense. What? How sad is that? It's very sad, and it's a sad state of things. So if you got older family members, definitely get with them. Find out what you can find out. If you got siblings and cousins, talk to them. Young kids in the family, figure out what's going on with them. I know some things are private, and we're not going to find out everything about everybody. I'm not saying play Columbo and do Google searches and all that on your family members. What I am saying is, if you have the opportunity to have the conversation, have the conversation. If you have the opportunity to fill out a family medical history chart, fill it out and just look and see what it tells you. If you actually have the opportunity to go ahead and get some genetic testing done, I'm not opposed to that. I think we should use modern technology and science to the best of our abilities so we can make as many informed choices as we can and things are not pushed down our throats at a later date and time. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. So family health issues, proactivity, moving forward, loving the family that we have despite all the extras that they may bring to the table can sometimes be hard, and it causes us to really take a harder look at ourselves. With that said, in all things, you know, we're always like, live your life out loud. Live your life out loud. Because you, where you are an example to somebody. Somebody on your street, somebody on the corner, somebody in your neighborhood, your school, your work environment. You're an example to somebody. So why not have the best quality of life ever and live your life in such a way that you're right, I am an example. I will make a difference in someone else's life because I'm going to make a difference in my own life. I'm going to really sit down and look at some stuff, and I'm going to make some choices. Is this fast food really what's best for me and my family? Or do I need to go back to the basics and pull out the crock pot? Do I need to really stop at all these restaurants? Or do I really need to start, you know, shopping locally and organically and doing what is necessary, you know, for me and mine so that we can be the best version of ourselves ever, so that we can improve over the next 6 months or 7 months and make drastic lifestyle changes? Do I really need this to handle my stress? Or can I replace that behavior with something positive? If I'm really going to be the best version of me, I need to have a conversation with myself about what that looks like. And I need to make a vision board or have some goals in front of me. I need to set the alarm clock for early in the morning with a nice workout song so I can get up and actually do what's necessary. If you're going to be the best version of you, why not start today? Why not employ yourself as your own personal trainer? Like, look, girl, we got to get up. We got to do what we got to do. We got this workout regimen we need to do because we want to be a better version of ourselves. We want to have energy for the activities that are ahead of us. We want to have mobility for what life is about to bring our way. We need to have oxygen in our lungs. So whatever course we need to go on to maximize our oxygen intake, then that's what we need to do. So if we need to add cardio to what we're doing, if we need to add resistance training, if we need to add vacations and actually take them, there's nothing wrong with taking days off from work and leaving work where work is, because you have to have a work-life balance. If you were constantly working or employed or out there, you know, quote-unquote, well, no, not really, if you're out there grinding so hard for someone else that you lose sight of you, then what are you really doing? How are you living out loud by letting someone else benefit off of you? And you're not giving 100% if you're not taking your vacations, if you're not taking your sick days, if you're not taking time to heal physically and mentally and spiritually. If you're not taking the time for you, then you're just wasting away. You're not existing at all. You are just, I mean, you're not living at all. You're just existing. Who wants that? I'm not a big funeral person, funeral hop or anything like that. But I think one of the saddest things ever is to go to someone's funeral and no one has anything to say because you did nothing with your life. Or go to someone's funeral and they have to dress up stuff, including the body in the casket, because this person's quality of life was so bad and the choices they made were so bad. Ah, that sucks. It's sad and it's disheartening, but it's also encouraging for you or for me, you know, whoever, to get out there and do what needs to be done. Touch the lives that need to be touched. Check on your people. That was one of the main things when we first started our family focus. I know we said the Oreo generation and you're in between taking care of seniors and taking care of kids and somewhere in the middle of those years and you have to take care of yourself. But we also said check on your people, and I really need to hit that home. We have neighbors and friends and people around us who are hurting in secret, who are hurting in silence. And if we are not checking on them, then who is checking on them? If we're not checking them, who is checking them? If we're not saying, hey, kind of noticed I hadn't seen you around, you know, or hey, I had an extra bit of macaroni and cheese. I thought you wanted some. I'm going to bring it over. If we're not checking on them, checking in with them, then guess what's happening? We are letting them go. And when that avalanche comes, it takes them away. And then we're looking shocked like, oh, I don't know what happened. I just talked to her 7 months ago. If you've got people you love and you're investing in and who have invested in you, you need to check on your people. And that's something that hits me hard because I know I'm guilty of, you know, not being as proactive as I could be in that arena. But at the same time, I want to encourage others to do the exact same thing because there's no reason that seniors should sit around for days and not have anyone check on them. If it's your neighbor, check on your neighbor. If it's the quote-unquote crazy lady down the corner, check on her. If it's the local drunk who you haven't seen in a couple of days, check on her or him. It doesn't hurt you to give 30 minutes of your time to someone else, and that 30 minutes of your time can make all the difference in the world. And you're here to make a difference in the world. The life that you've been given is not just yours. You are a source of light and life. And so you have to be willing to extend yourself at your level of comfort and go ahead and check on your people. You got a child in your family that's starting to do some different stuff, dress differently, not really, you know, a part of the family function off to the side. Go check on that child. There are different ways to scream for help, and not all of them are loud and audible. When people start to change patterns of behavior, that means something has changed. When people start to retreat and to break off, that means something is different. And if that person is of any value to you, then at some point in time you need to drop whatever pride you have and go ahead and check on that person, not just for the relationship's sake, but for that person's sake, because they're a valuable person to the world. And if we don't keep checking on each other to make sure we're okay, then who's going to check on us? If I can't depend on you to check on me and you can't depend on me to check on you, then what value are we really bringing to the table? A lot of people want the grandstand and they want to be up in front of just these large crowds of people and empower and encourage, and that's fine. But at the same time, there needs to be some grassroots stuff within our families. Like, hey, auntie, haven't heard from you, just touching base, just checking in, driving past your house, wanting to see if you were okay. Okay, so I was in the neighborhood, I wanted to check on you. Any of that is okay. And you may find out that there's nothing wrong. They were just having a moment. Okay, cool, didn't want to overstep my bounds. I wanted you to know you were missed at the last cookout. Didn't want to overstep my bounds, but just know you've been real quiet lately. You know what, I was going to get some shoes. Let's go, can you help me pick out some shoes? Let's go together. And doing that non-invasive but yet invasive maneuver, you can find out a lot of information, and you can become a greater support for people who need it. You never know the difference you can make in someone else's life, but you have to be willing to step beyond comfort. There have been plenty of times, and it's natural for us when we're hurting to kind of, you know, be like a wounded dog and go up in the woods and lick our wounds. That's natural, but it's not natural to not come back from that, to not rebound after we lift our wounds. The pity party express that many of our family members and loved ones get on is ridiculous. It's a very vicious cycle that we can, you know, help end and can help, you know, give the person some hope or something. We just don't know the outreach of our love when we reach out to others, how far and wide that stretches, and how that encourages someone else along the way. Like, wow, every week you come over here and you check on Sister So-and-so. That is so sweet of you. I appreciate that. You don't know who you're affecting, but kind acts and generosity and using 30 minutes, 40 minutes of your time a week, really giving up one reality show a week or a couple minutes on social media where you're just scrolling through stuff anyway, to actually engage with a family member or a loved one or a neighbor who may not have anybody, to share some of your great aunt's peach cobbler with the little boy on the corner. It may mean everything to them. And you think, oh, it's nothing. It's so sweet. It doesn't mean a lot. My grandmother was famous for this. Like, in the area that we lived in, every family, she would make sure to make extra plates. And we know at the end of the family meal that those extra plates had to be delivered to other people in the community who didn't have family visiting them. So whatever holiday it was, the family came in, there was two or three extra plates made, and they were covered and they were wrapped, and they were giving away to people, to a gentleman across the street who didn't have family, who people rarely visited him, who may have had and to him, that meant all the difference in the world. He knew he was going to get a nice home-cooked, southern-cooked, yummy, delicious meal every holiday, and sometimes during the week, too. Gentlemen down the road who didn't have family who visited him on a regular basis, but we would go, and we would be that. And on Fridays, hey, we got some extra this. Let's go ahead and share that. Because, again, your life can make all the difference to someone else, but it's your choice. You could keep the food and let it go sour in your refrigerator, or you could be the outreach that someone else needs. Even just the human contact that you are creating with them can make all the difference in the world and give someone something called hope that will help them through another day. So I'm excited you guys tuned in. This is our last week of Family Focus, but I'm hoping that, you know, if you've missed the episode, you will go back and listen and start to use some of the tools that we've given so that the family unit can become a stronger, more cohesive working unit. And if at all possible, please get your family medical history together so that you can make the best choices for you and your family. All right. This has been Rev J on another great episode of Couch Conversations. I will talk to y'all tomorrow live at 7 a.m. Y'all take care. Bye-bye.